Veterans salutes those who served. Veterans Ride Free Tuesday, November 11th. And every other day of the year, our veterans and active duty military personnel get a 50% discount on all fares. It's all part of COTA's ongoing commitment to show appreciation for your selfless service. To ride at no cost on fixed routes, tell your bus operator that you're a veteran or use code VET2025 in the app to use COTA Plus. Veterans Ride Free on Tuesday, November 11th for Veterans Day. Veterans get a 50% discount every day on COTA. Plan your ride and learn more at coda.com/trip planner.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24 month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit rightrug.com. RITERUG.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right here, right now.
Ever wondered how a book gets made into a movie?
Or how to master the art of cooking?
Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef.
On our podcast, we're going to be serving you a fresh perspective of the entertainment industry alongside our favorite celebrity guests.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
Hey, thanks for downloading this podcast. If you want to listen live, be sure to download the iHeartRadio app and search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Thanks for listening and enjoy the show.
Ladies and gentlemen, I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
It's In This League.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Come again?
With Scott Bogman and Chris Welch.
Can't wait.
What does that do? Does that blow your mind?
That just happened.
Welcome in. It's In This League on the daily right here on Sports Grid. I am one of your hosts, Chris Welch. You can find me on Twitter at IsItTheWelch. That is Bogman. You can find him on Twitter at Bogman Sports. Back on the daily, back on the grind, and back on the hope for sports to come back.
I am the only person, I think, in the country that has not gotten the stimulus check yet. Maybe no. I'm wrong. Who else hasn't? You? I thought you said you got
it. I did. Yeah, I did. No, I did get mine. I think there are plenty of people that haven't gotten theirs yet also.
Okay. I feel like for whatever reason, the Welsh, whenever something like this is happening, I'm like the person that gets skipped over or I have something wrong or whatever it is. I feel like in that I'm cursed. I have a ton of luck in many, many other spots. So I'm not going to sit here and call myself unlucky. But I feel like when it's something like this where everyone is involved, like if there was a random lottery, you know, I would be like the last person drawn for it. I don't know. That's like the weird bad luck I have. Most other things for me, pretty damn good luck. I have to say over my life, you know, pretty decent, you know, not perfect, but not bad by any stretch. But I feel like there's going to be some weird mistake. It's going to be shipped to the wrong address. Or I'm going to get it and it's going to be 89 cents.
I like that you're going to get a physical check. You're not going to get a direct deposit. They're going to send you a physical check. I hope that happens.
Like, I feel like something's going to go wrong with that because last year I didn't get money back. I had to pay. So, you know, I just used my card to pay. So I don't know. Are they going to go back 2 years later to my bank account when I actually did get a return back? I just have no idea what to expect here. So. All I know is I expect that everyone's going to have it this month, and I'm going to be on the phone fighting with someone.
You're just like on the government. You're like, you got time for fake mustaches, but where's my money, man? Where's my money?
That's right. I'm Stewie, and the government is Brian, 100%. I don't know why I haven't got it yet. I mean, don't they know that I need to pay for my internet so I can watch my make my podcast?
Podcast? So, watch my pods?
Yeah,
podcasts,
yeah.
That's it.
Watch my podcast all the time.
Don't they know podcasts have been deemed essential in Florida also? Don't they know? It's WWE and In This League podcast.
Right. And beaches, right?
Yeah.
Beaches are essential in Florida.
Though we didn't pledge $18 even to Florida. I do like that story. Very political, though, but a lot of controversy in that where it was Linda McMahon has a super PAC and they pledge $18 million to Florida the same day that WWE was designated as an essential business. And I didn't even know this, but Vince McMahon, I guess, has decided to return to live programming for episodes on Monday Night Raw and SmackDown. This was on April 10th. So that means, did it just go back to, they must have just gone back to live programming recently.
I guess. I don't know. It's going to be weird. Like, I feel like you can play, no sport is going to feel the same without a crowd, right? I mean, they're just not.
No.
And that's fine and understandable. I don't care about baseball. I've watched enough Rays games and Marlins games and, you know, Tigers games. And when the Diamondbacks won 51, I was still watching them. So I've seen enough empty stadiums to kind of not care if there's, you know, people in the stands or not. So, I mean, just go watch, you know, an AAC game between two of the bad teams in college football on a Saturday. There's nobody there. It's one section of the band is filled. So that's okay. But I'm so ignorant to the WWE situation. I was like, why is everybody complaining? Wasn't this done a long time ago? And you're like, well, no, dude. They said they donated $18 million and now WWE is essential. I'm like, oh, yeah, no, that does seem like a payoff.
Yeah. So, well, but yeah, I mean, people are just doing the tea leaves because Linda McMahon is like the small business administrator in the White House in the office. And then there she's the a chairman of a super PAC that paid millions and millions of dollars to Florida, and then Florida put WWE as essential on top of it. It is weird, though, how much sports has intertwined into politics, because you've got, you know, I think every commissioner of sports on a council with amongst many other business leaders with Trump to, you know, kind of get the, like, they're a part of bringing back normalcy in sports. You have Dr. or in America. And like the commissioners, and you've got Dr. Fauci out there talking about, you know, baseball coming back. And it's just really weird. It's really weird in a pandemic that you're here, you're getting just sports in general on the tongues of everything that is, has to do with, you know, the country being shut down. And that's not a great looking one. It's not the best looking one. I'm not sure I would have considered WWE essential. I don't know if any sport is essential, but it's weird that that's the one. You know, that's the one, the first one that got that designation. Like, I'm actually shocked that anybody would get that designation whatsoever. Like, I just think it would be something quietly we wouldn't even assume.
Isn't stuff weird in Florida right now anyway? Like, I thought it was like Florida's in a bad spot because no one was taking this stuff seriously at all. Like, and so now
we're early on,
pretty ugly there. That's what I thought. I mean, I'm not in Florida, so I have no idea what it is, what the situation there is, but I thought it was kind of ugly in Florida a little bit right now, which is weird that they would make sports essential now. Like, if you did it in a couple weeks when stuff starts to calm down, but once again, I'm wholly and completely ignorant to a lot.
Yeah, well, especially in wrestling too. Like, I didn't even realize they must have gone back to, they must have already gone back to wrestling, because if it was April 10th, you know, that was, we already had a Monday pass on April 13th. So they must have been back to kind of regular wrestling. So they're bringing something back, I suppose. Probably going to be a lot of new wrestling fans.
Yeah. I mean, it's something to watch right now on television. So that's fine. I mean, I don't know how many replays of Super Bowl 50 I can do on a weekly basis. That's what's been on NFL Network constantly.
You know, so I have avoided all of it. I've avoided all of the old replays of game. I know a lot of people have gotten into it, and maybe that, you know, it's blasphemous, but less like, I've avoided all of the, like, hey, we're replaying this and replaying that. And I just can't get into it.
Yeah. The replay stuff is usually on when I'm doing something on the computer. Like, if I'm watching, you know, highlights and trying to, you know, finish up my rankings pre-draft for some of these college players and stuff, I'll throw on like NFL Network or MLB Network in the background. It just kind of fades into the background. But it's tough, though, because I do want to watch new stuff. I've been watching, have you ever heard of Schitt's Creek? On it's on Netflix.
What was that again?
S-C-H-I-T-T-S.
I have, and it's one of the few moments I've had in my life where I see people talking about it and how much they love it, and I haven't gotten into it. I don't get it. Like, I've watched like 6 episodes.
Okay.
And everyone's like, it's the greatest show on television. And I'm just not there. I'm like, it's okay. It's fine. It's just fine to me. But it's not good enough for me to have to keep watching the episode. So I feel like I'm a little bit on an island on that show.
I definitely have to be in the right mood. And I think everyone right now is having gigantic mood swings in the middle of all this stuff, of course, because sometimes you're like, what's the big deal? I'm at home. You know, I'm hanging out. Everything's kind of normal. And then, you know, 20 minutes later, you're like, all I want to do is leave and go sit down at a restaurant and have a beer, you know,
yeah.
Like, so you start to get, you know, whatever it is, angry, depressed, however that goes. So when I'm angry and I'm watching Schitt's Creek, I'm like, these people are the worst human beings in the world and they would be hung if they were in this town. There's just, they would not last, you know? So I have to be in the right mood.
I see, I haven't even had that. I just it's okay. It's clever. It's cheeky. It's stuff like that. It just hasn't rang a bell with me like it has with some other people, but that happens with shows. Same thing has happened. I've seen with people like I love Ozarks. And I've seen some people be like, it's all right. There's not a lot of redeeming characters. And I saw our boy Yancey talking about he didn't like the writing of some of it. And it's like, okay, you know, it's just that everyone's got that different. But sometimes that happens with me with comedy shows for some reason.
Yeah, you don't like to laugh. You only like to watch people and laugh. You like to because you listen to a lot of comedy podcasts. So I know you do like to laugh, but. For whatever reason, I always say this about you. I don't know if it irks you. I think you just laugh me off, but I'm like, will you watch something positive for once instead of watching all of these murder shows and dramas and stuff where bad things have to happen and people just watch a comedy.
I know. I need
to. It doesn't have to have a laugh track in it. So
and I should. I absolutely should. I tried with Schitt's Creek, and it just didn't
work. What was the last comedy that you watched and you were like, this is, I know you like Dave, but even Dave, you only liked the episode because you're like, hey, Bogman, this is exactly like you. You freak. Look at this episode. So is that the last comedy that you watched and like really laughed hard at?
I think so. Yeah. I mean, like, I watch comedy specials. So like I've watched, you know, the Tom Segura one. I tried the Burt one. I'll rewatch, you know, like Paper Tiger and stuff like that.
An underhanded, backhanded smack to Burt Kreischer.
I almost listen to all of his podcasts. I listen to all the stuff he does. I love him talking. His comedy just doesn't, I don't know. It's kind of like a reiteration of that. But yeah, I mean, I do comedy specials probably more than I do comedy shows. But yeah, Dave with everyone knows Lil Dicky. That's his show. But I, you know what? I haven't tuned in since episode 3. I haven't tuned back in. I need to.
Yeah, it's funny because I like, you know, I watched the first 3 episodes because you're like, you got to watch episode 3, you weirdo, because it's just like you. And and you're right. It is. And
I just said you'd appreciate it. I didn't say it was like you. I said you'll appreciate it.
It was, watching episode 3, I'm like, I was like annoyed, but also, yeah, that's right. You know? Yeah. Yep. Yep. Yeah, you get me. I did like that episode, but I don't like Lil Dicky. I don't like Dave in the show, but I like everyone else in the show. Yeah, I think
sometimes
everyone
else is funny. Good. That's good about a show. That still works.
Yeah, it could still work, but I'm with you. I didn't go back and watch it. I've been trying to rewatch Westworld, you know, because we have time. I don't have to follow it as soon as it happens. But my buddy, our friend Collings, he texts me. He's like, are you watching Westworld season 3? And I'm like, dude, I think I'm too dumb for Westworld. Like season 2, halfway through, I'm like, I don't know what the hell's going on here anymore. Maybe I'm just not like, you know, usually I'm doing something on the computer and watching TV at the same time. And I know for that, you really have to pay attention to detail and stuff.
There's no way you can do that with that show.
But I feel like, I don't remember, but I feel like I tried doing that with Westworld season 2, and I was still like, I don't understand what's happening.
A lot of people have had that. Well, Westworld season 2, they jumped the shark, and it got too far for everybody. This last season is doing some of the same, but I've seen articles written where people are like, I don't know what's happening. Like, I'm still watching it, but like, however hard I try, I can't understand it. And people are trying harder, though. I think that's the one pass that TV shows are getting right now where, or any entertainment, this could be the same thing for WWE, and why, you know, kudos to them, I suppose, for getting that kind of essential tag, is there's a lot of stuff where there's so much going on in our lives where people are just like, you know, you have a short period of time to grasp someone's attention and grasp them and pull them in, and then people just move on. I think there's more of a pass to that now. People are trying things they wouldn't have tried before, especially like a live wrestling program that's like live version, you know, I mean, it's athletic. It's not like sport.
No one's going to get confused by it. That's for sure.
Yeah. So just people are giving things more of a pass and more of a try. So something like Westworld as well, you know, it's a compelling, well-acted show. You've got, Aaron Paul in it, you know, so people like that. And it's just everyone's getting more of a pass than they've ever gotten before.
And I'm going back and I'm watching season one, and I just, it does bring back, like, watching season one, you're like, God, this show is incredible. Like, season one is really, really good. And then getting into season two, I was just like, I don't know. I'm too dumb. I can't figure this out. So, maybe at that point, I'm like, maybe I should be a wrestling fan again, because this is just too smart for me. I don't know.
Oh, no.
But what have you been entertaining yourself in any other way outside of, goofy memes and TV shows? Have you been, you got any new podcasts in rotation? Have you tried any audiobooks or any of that stuff?
No, you know what? I've got a whole set of graphic novels that are just waiting to be read, and I haven't done it one bit. I've got the whole first compendium of Walking Dead. I've got the new House of X. I've got some of the old other graphic novels I've been meaning to get to. Some of the Marvel ones, I like that type of stuff. I haven't read a single one. I've actually listened to less podcasts than I ever did before because I'm not in my car. So I rarely get to whatever I'm actually trying to get to. It's a lot less, and also working from home, it's because I'm not driving, it's nice, and I'm at home more, but you tend to work a little bit more. We do more podcasts, we pick up more stuff on ITL. So I actually have not given things more of an opportunity. And that's why I don't go back to a show like Schitt's Creek, because it's like, I'm still, when I am looking for something, it's just like, all right, this better be good. I still only have this much amount of time.
Yeah. To be honest, going to work might have been a break for you with two kids.
Yeah.
Too,
well, so. Also, if I were in a situation like a lot of people are, where people are being furloughed and people are being out, and you're not really even given an opportunity to rectify that, and you're just at home. I think that's where places like the WWE is. They're potentially trying to jump on this opportunity. And however you want to look at that move, whatever that is, by the way, if it's corrupt or it just happens to be at the same time with what was happening, the WWE, I think they know this is a moment that they need to capitalize on, because a lot of money was lost in the XFL. And I think some things came out about, I didn't even realize this. There was like some speculation that the WWE wasn't invested in XFL, but like, we knew, like, Vince McMahon had his cash involved in the XFL. But I'm not sure if what they were saying was, I don't think people knew if the WWE Corporation, had an investment in the XFL.
Yeah.
And they did. And then there were also a bunch of, I think, some of the head coaches. I'm trying to remember. I think Mike Tressman was involved in it. And there's a couple other people that they filed for bankruptcy, because then the XFL filed for bankruptcy. And that's where you ended up learning where the investment was. So the WWE itself, that was a big hit. There were obviously financial ties to Vince McMahon. So a lot of money was lost. So by being able to capitalize on essentially being the only weekly live sporting event right now, it's an opportunity that the WWE needed. And whether or not they did it, however they did it, they're there. They're there, and they're going to be able to, I don't know where all they're doing this. I don't know if this whole idea is like they're only going to produce the shows out of Florida, which it seems like that's happening now.
Yeah, but it's going to be like, didn't WCW do that back in the day? Weren't they in Orlando? And that was just it. They didn't travel.
Maybe that might have been, by the way, also,
maybe it was ECW. I can't remember, but I know one of them was, they were like in a central location. That's where they recorded, and that was it.
A bunch of other, here's some interesting stuff. Wow. I don't even think you realize, I didn't even realize this, a friend of ours, but, our buddy Joe, he has a wrestling podcast, In This Ring, and he's going to talk about this. What also happened with it, so funny, we're talking about the WWE, is on top of this move where they're going back to live programming, where they're deemed essential in Florida so they can keep going, the WWE also consolidated and they released a whole bunch of dudes on Wednesday. And there's a couple names you're going to know. You have Kurt Angle. That was a big one.
Oh, wow.
Anderson and Gallows was a tag team. I remember Joe talking about them. You had some other guys I don't quite know, but here's one. Eric Young, Bogman, was released.
Oh, that
sucks. Our friend Eric Young. Put on furlough, it might have been, but I think they were either... Yeah, they were released. They're also furloughing some of their wrestlers because, they don't need to do big house shows anymore. It's just the on-air component, and WWE is even taking the hit. We got to go to break real quick, though. Come back, we'll hit more of this. I don't know if we'll hit more of the wrestling stuff, but man, essentials and furloughs from the WWE, it's nuts. Don't go anywhere. More in This League coming up.
DailyRoto.com. Learn from the game's best DFS players. We don't just give you premier advice, We play every day. All major sports, all year round, we never stop. Industry-leading DFS tools and custom projections. And now, the DailyRoto.com Optimizer. In minutes, build an optimized lineup for cash games and tourneys. Learn from the game's best DFS players. Join DailyRoto.com.
Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. I'm still on my own journey, but I want to be transparent with you because as I was posting all the highlights of my life on social media, I was breaking down. And too many people fall victim to the picture-perfect image of the high life, so I created a space to discuss the good and the bad. We can laugh, man. We gonna learn, and most of all, I hope to inspire you to go on this journey with me to better mental health. This is gonna be your church, your turn-up, and everything in between. So join me on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, a safe space for every kind of person. Listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I swear to God, I'll pistol whip the next guy that says...
In this league.
Hey, Farva, what's the name of that restaurant you like with all the mozzarella sticks?
In this league.
Oh. Welcome back, In This League. Check us out over at InThisLeague.com. It takes you to our Patreon. You can come and have fun. Check out all the extra content, secret shows, streams, lists, whatever it is, group me rooms where you can hang out with peeps. If that is something that you want, come and check us out. And it's only $5 a month. I'll get you a majority of the stuff, a little bit more for the group me rooms. But if you're looking for some entertainment in all the chaos, we are there. Patreon.com/InThisLeague. /ITL Army, and then you can just do InThisLeague.com, and it'll take you right there. Bogman Welsh, back as we've been talking about wrestling. It's wild. It's a bummer about Eric Young. I'm not sure, and followed too much up. Eric is he's kind of a friend of ours. He's more definitely mutual friend across the board. I've talked to Eric once or twice to try to, a long time ago, get him on shows. It didn't work out, but he's been mutual friends. Most recently, we were part of a little group that he got tickets to go to Royal Rumble. He got it for all of us. I think you actually went to lunch with him. Forgot about that. You got to go to lunch with him. But I don't know what he was doing actively on the roster in general. So that might have been what some of these moves were. But the WWE, after becoming and deeming it an essential business in Florida and going to be able to just continuously do their on-air stuff with no fans, they furloughed and released a whole bunch of players that were headlined by Kurt Angle and then in our industry, Eric Young.
And I don't have any like great point to speak about this as far as the how good the WWE is now, because you and I are not watching it. But I do remember that some of the best memories of wrestling was when WWF was in trouble, you know, when they were in trouble and they had to get rid of Bret Hart is when we got the Montreal Screwjob. And then, you know, with WCW and WWF competing, you know, for so long, WCW beat them in the ratings for years and years in a row until like the night Mick Foley won the championship. And so maybe from some of these struggles, we're going to get, you know, wrestling turned back, because it seems like it's cyclical, you know, where it goes from it's kid friendly, because for us growing up when we were kids, it was kid friendly. It was Hulk Hogan, take your vitamins, you know, listen to your parents and pray and all that stuff. So, and then, you know, it started as we became teenagers and started rebelling. Then you got like the attitude era.
The attitude era. That's right.
Right. So it kind of grew with our era until we got into like our late 20s, mid 20s, late 20s. Then it was like, we're going to go back to kid friendly, and our generation is kind of like, okay, well, we're going to be done with this now. So, because it's all little kiddie stuff for a while. So maybe this is going to, you know, start bringing it back into more of the attitude era and
maybe,
you know, hate your boss, and, you know, people will be more interested in it. So.
I think they're going to keep going with kind of the, you know, they don't really toe the lines. I think they're going to keep doing that, especially, yeah, because you have more people home ever than ever. They're That's just going to take the opportunity to know that people are going to be there. And Just looking at the details here, they were deemed an essential business in Florida, which allows them to resume live television shows from its Orlando training facility and Full Sail University in Winter Park. And Full Sail is really interesting because they're one of the like few like entertainment schools. I went to this competitive school from Full Sail, but this is like, you know, 20 years ago, almost 20 years ago, where Full Sail would be like if you wanted to get into audio engineering, but also they transformed a lot more into television production and stuff like that, and, you know, editing and stuff. So Full Sail is this big university with, you know, the facilities to pull this off. So they're going to be doing that in both of those in Florida. So it'll just be in one spot. That's probably also why they, you know, they kill some of the stuff as far as traveling needs are going to go, and they're not going to do house shows. In this article, it's interesting. The essential businesses that are supposed to remain open during Florida's stay-at-home order include healthcare, financial, energy, food, communications, and transportation sectors. And a spokesperson for Governor Ron DeSantis in Florida told ESPN on Monday that such services were characterized as essential, quote, because they are critical to Florida's economy. So there's like a really big reason okay. that you can understand why WWE was given that, because it is critical for their economy. They've got three TV shows per week. They've got Raw, which is on USA Networks. That's on Monday. NXT, which is on USA Networks, which is on Wednesday. And SmackDown, which is on Fox on Friday. So three different networks that are put there. And that kind of speaks to it. You know, if people are questioning what essential means here, is essential to the economy, that's where they're able to do it.
What now, are nail salons and golf courses on that list?
No. Well, this is Florida, not Arizona. So.
Oh, okay.
Though I think some of those got pulled back. I know
salons did. And I think that I think the golf courses did too, unless they're on the reservations. So
Yeah, the reservation stuff is all shut down right now. Definitely, for sure.
Is it real? Okay. I thought the reservations had different rules, but I don't.
Well, the reservations in Arizona got hit a little bit harder. The Arizona in general hasn't really been hit too crazy hard with the coronavirus. There's not a ton of cases and stuff like that, but also not a ton of testing. But the reservations are actually a little bit more where, you know, some of the hit has happened. So, yeah, I mean, all the places are different. And that's one of the oddities that's coming out of this. And, you know, amazingly, you know, Florida actually kind of opens up a little bit, if you really think about it, opens up what you might be seeing more even for the rest of 2020 and maybe longer of states carrying specific things. Arizona looks like it's going to be the home for baseball. It's the Arizona or bust thing. So you've got Florida being the home for wrestling. Arizona might be the home for baseball. We haven't heard anything from football. As we're recording this, Jay Glazer had some big announcement that really seems like it could affect some stuff, but I think it might have to be more with Fox. That was a piece of P&I. Speculating. Like, he's making this big deal. You guys will know it by the time you're listening to this, but he's like, I got this big football announcement releasing on Fox at 8 Eastern. It doesn't have to do with a player or anything like that. And that sounds to me like, you know, people were speculating would the draft get moved and stuff like that. I don't think Jake Glazer would get that info and no one else would. I think it's going to be more about like something big that Fox is going to do for this coming season. I don't know what capacity it's going to be or something that they got, but I think it's going to be very Fox centric, not like, you know, football is going to be placed in one spot, you know. And by the way,
where could they do this?
I was just about to ask you. I know what state I think. I think it's Texas. Texas would be, if there was going to be a home of football, it would definitely be Texas, because they've got, you know, the gajillion, even the high school stadiums
are
like
better than some pro stadiums.
Absolutely.
Right?
They have got so many stadiums. Texas would for sure be the home of football if each state got a sport.
Right. If we're doing the state by sport draft,
you probably
have
to move hockey to Canada in general for just a pure amount of stadiums.
Canada, or if you're keeping the U.S., Minnesota, or like Minnesota or one of the Dakotas.
But you know what? What's interesting about that is, you know, basketball and hockey under those guides, I think hockey would be the toughest one, because I just don't think there's not a place where there's enough stadiums to make it work. Like basketball, if they really wanted to get crazy, I mean, they could go play outside. You know, they could just they could do like the Big Three type of stuff. They could just go play outside games like, you know, in Brooklyn. I mean, you wouldn't do it in New York at this point, but you know, you could get away with that. You really can't get away with
you
that.
You really could play basketball in any state. It wouldn't really matter.
Yeah, there could be a state that, and I don't know what would be the state that would house basketball. Probably wouldn't be anything on the East Coast. California's got too strict of rules right now, but I don't see how they would do that with hockey. You really couldn't have an all or nothing state for hockey. They'd have to have, I don't know. You'd have to have it.
Yeah, Canada's rough too, because I don't know if everywhere in Canada is doing the Toronto bit, you know, where Toronto is closing down all public gatherings for, and I know sports have been, you know, there's a loophole in there somewhere where they could, like, if baseball decided to travel again, they could still play in Toronto just with no crowds or something. Like, I get that, but I think there's plenty of towns in Canada where, you know, they have rinks and they're regulation size. Yeah. So I think they could find some centralized location.
They could probably do something. I mean, like Arizona, I know in the Metro Phoenix area, there's like three places they could play. There is a old training facility. I don't remember what it's called now. The Ice Den. That's what it was in Scottsdale, where the Coyotes would practice. And there's two rinks in there. You've got the actual where the Coyotes play, and then you've got where they play basketball. So you'd have to double dip, but that's only 8 games. So, you know, you go to a bigger place that might have, you know, more of those facilities. It's just not possible with hockey. And luckily, I think hockey's far enough away right now where it's nothing that they have to necessarily think about. And probably basketball as well. You know, basketball outside of the travel, you know, just going to these empty stadiums. But I just think it's really interesting how you're going to have just the home of wrestling is now in Florida, and baseball would be the home of home of baseball. It's just weird.
I want to double back to Jay Glazer for a second. Like, he says he has a major announcement. If it's something lame, how mad do we need to be at Jay Glazer for saying he has a major announcement?
I mean, everybody knows right now. This is a weird one because everyone, like, as they're listening, they know what he was talking about. And actually, I just realized.
Okay, well, tell the people how mad they should be. Like, if it's something along the lines of, you know, Fox is going to be doing this for games this year. Give me a break. Who cares? Right? So
players
are going to be mic'd up this year. That's not major. Who cares?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I kind of think it could be along necessarily like those lines. Here was his last tweet leading up to whatever you guys all know. It says, the news I have tonight is not transactional news, not a player getting traded or signed. Woke up to seeing y'all going ape, you know what, guessing what it is. It's not what you think. Fox Football Now tonight, 11 p.m. Eastern, 8 p.m. Pacific, after the race, is what he's saying. That very much does not sound like breaking news. That sounds like something that Fox is going to do for the upcoming season. I don't know what it is. They could be the home of something, but he did say Fox Football Now, so it has to be something football related. So he's gonna break something. I just don't know what it is. I don't think it's going to be big enough. And I don't know, like, should you be mad? I don't know if it's getting that much more traction. I mean, I guess we're talking about it. I think it's going to be annoying, maybe a little bit annoyed. Like, hey, dude, you know.
I have major news, the Welsh. Breaking major news. Are you ready?
Okay.
I will be going to Carl's Jr. tomorrow.
Oh, yeah. Well, because we did win one round of the Baseball Pods tournament. So you do owe one Carl's Jr. Food time.
Yes, one Carl's Jr. video. It's going to be like, I feel like it's going to be better than the 8th episode of Tiger King with Joel McHale interviewing all the rednecks.
Yeah.
So I think that it's going to be better than that because it'll be closer to the original version of what I would always do. So, but it's that's my major announcement. So now for cutting you off and saying my major announcement is that I'm going to Carl's Jr., how mad should you be? What's the grade there?
I mean, I don't think so because you immediately gave us the info. Now, had you said, I've got major info that I'll tell you at the end of the episode, and then you would have said, I'm going to Carl's Jr., it might be along the lines of what Jay Glazer says. I thought it was interesting people speculating on the draft being moved, though. Like, no offense, but like, Jay Glazer's not going to be the one to break that news.
Right. And the draft getting moved, like, they would have to do that like 3 weeks ago if they were going to do that. I mean, I guess they're the NFL. They can do whatever they want.
They're running a test, I believe, on Monday, a draft, like a mock draft with last year's stuff They're going to run a mock draft system on Monday. The NFL is using the 2019 draft class as kind of bait for it. Like, I would give
anything
to watch
that. I
wonder
if they're
going
to pay hackers to, like, try to hack it, you know?
Oh, yeah, like the government would do. Like, you know, it's like, if you can hack this, we'll give you money or a job or something like that.
Dude, they should do that so you don't have, you know, some random weirdo hacking in and then making a terrible pick for whatever team. You know, I would
I have
love to
read
hack
though
in and give the Ravens all kinds of bad players.
One thing that they're allowed to do is I think they're also allowed to like just phone it in. I think that's part of the process. Yeah. Is they can also just pick up the phone and they can call and make the pick. And this is all kind of about presentation to make sure you still have like a broadcast and whatnot. And also, did you see that? I believe ESPN and the NFL Network are teaming up for this.
Yeah. You know, what was weird was I was doing social distancing with Bogman on Monday and I flipped on NFL Network and it was Susie Colbert was on there talking to somebody. And I don't know who it was, but I was like, oh, I'm on ESPN. And I flip back to ESPN. And it's the same show. And I'm like, what the hell's happening? Like, so NFL and ESPN are crossing over their football programming right now. So I'm assuming that NFL Network is going to head up most of the draft stuff, but it might just be Mel Kiper and Todd McShay talking on both networks.
Well,
maybe
no,
that's what it is.
I think they said, I think it's Trey Wingo is going to host. Hold on.
I'd rather have Eisen. But,
let's see.
Okay.
ESPN. Well, yeah, I agree. ESPN NFL Network. Let me type.
And I like Wingo. I don't have like anything against Wingo. It's just like I look forward to hearing Rich Eisen.
So here it is. ESPN and NFL, they're joining forces in this year's draft. They will produce a broadcast that will air on both networks over all 3 days. It's going to be housed in the ESPN headquarters in Bristol, Connecticut. That's how it's going to go. Draft hosts and limited number of commenters will be in studio.
They didn't announce who it is.
Well, no, I think it's going to come here. I'm pretty sure I saw. I'm not seeing it on here now. ABC is going to air a separate draft broadcast on Thursday and Friday before simulcasting on Saturday. That's kind of weird. They had the league previously announced that the draft will serve as a draft-a-thon that will pay tribute to healthcare workers. Funds raised will help. That's kind of cool, but I hadn't heard anything about that. And I'm going to look at this one more article because I swear I saw that like the main host was going to be, I guess I'm not really seeing it.
Well, you know who's a better host?
Oh, yeah. No, here it is. Here it is. Trey Wingo is going to host all 3 days of the coverage. Wingo will be joined by Mel Kiper, Louis Riddick, and Booger McFarlane. NFL Network host. NFL Network host Rich Eisen, Daniel Jeremiah, and Pro Football Hall of Famers Michael Irvin and Kurt Warner will also contribute remotely on all 3 days. Okay. And Susie Colbert will conduct remote interviews with all the guys, as well as Mortensen and Adam Schefter will be a part of the telecast. It's going to be hosted by Trey Wingo, Mel Kiper, Louis Riddick, and Booger McFarlane as the main dude. I want to get your reaction to Booger McFarlane on that when we come back. We got to hit a break real quick. We'll be right back in this league.
DailyRoto.com. Learn from the game's best DFS players. We don't just give you premier advice. We play every day. All major sports, all year round, we never stop. Industry-leading DFS tools and custom projections. And now, the DailyRoto.com Optimizer. In minutes, build an optimized lineup for cash games and tourneys. Learn from the game's best DFS players. Join DailyRoto.com.
Have you written a book and need some insight into what comes next?
Or are you passionate about cooking and want to know how to make it your career?
Or maybe you just want to hear insider stories about the entertainment industry. Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef. And on our podcast, Two Guys from Hollywood, we bring our expertise to the table with, of course, delicious cocktails and all kinds of recipes for you to try at home.
So grab a drink and join us. We've got a wide range of celebrity guests and Hollywood insiders to discuss pop culture, publishing, and entertainment. And we'll provide you with an unfiltered and sometimes brutally honest show about Hollywood.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
Welcome in this league.
I love you.
Ready to party!
Welcome back in this league right here on the Sports Grid. It is Bogman and the Welsh talking about next week's NFL draft coverage. Actually, 1 week from today, the NFL draft kicks off April 23rd for a three-day weird, unique setup because ESPN and NFL Network, they're joining forces and it's all going to come out of Bristol, Connecticut. And obviously, you know, in coming to an agreement of how it's going to work, they are giving the full-on hosting duties, not to Rich Eisen, who is with NFL Network, but Trey Wingo is going to be your full-on host. Mel Kiper, Lewis Riddick, and Booger McFarlane are going to be the main. But it does say Wingo will be joined remotely by Kiper, Riddick, and Booger McFarlane, but they might be the big main analysts as well. Of course, Rich Eisen, Daniel Jeremiah, Michael Irvin, Kurt Warner also going to contribute on this. But Booger McFarlane in the draft? Mm.
I'm starting to think like, look, maybe I would say it's okay if I don't get my stimulus check if Booger McFarlane makes no appearance.
You would give up your stimulus check so no Booger McFarlane?
I feel like I could get enough people to throw me $5 to make up for the stimulus check to not have Booger McFarlane on the broadcast. So, and to be honest, Booger is not as bad, I think, in a regular broadcast as he is during Monday Night Football. But I just don't. I'm done. It's too much. He's ruined his own persona for me by being so terrible on Monday Night Football. I just can't take it anymore. So I don't ever. How do they not realize that nobody likes this guy, right? How do they not get that?
I don't know. There's a part of me that it feels like they're just embracing that. It's the whole same. Like, yeah. you don't think that ESPN doesn't understand that people don't like Skip Bayless, you know, or Stephen A. Smith is polarizing. You know, they understand that type of stuff. I think it's part of that. I think they know that Booger McFarlane is going to create a lot of chatter online. Whether they like him or not, it'll be memes. It's people are going to be talking about it.
It's true.
He's just become polarizing. His name.
And it's not like people are not going to watch because it's the only thing to watch.
And people are going to watch also because they're going to be like, well, he's going to be a train wreck. It's turned into that. I don't think that was ESPN's initial plan. I don't think they ever knew that Booger McFarlane was going to be that, but then it happened and now there's a value to it because people will literally tune in just to be like, what the hell is, like, your reaction, what the hell, Booger McFarlane, like, you immediately, I have no interest in Lewis Riddick. I can't even think of who that is outside of he was the guy that was
he was catching passes from Matt Stafford a couple years ago.
Well, I was thinking of the actor Lewis Riddick.
Okay. Yeah, I know what you're talking
who
about.
Who is that? Now I'm thinking of that weird sci-fi show. What was that? Damn it.
Is it the one with Vin Diesel?
No, Lewis Riddick. Now it's going to kill me.
It's going to bring up the ESPN guy. So
Who is the guy from Dawson's Creek?
James Van Der Beek.
No. No, that's not. Is that?
Really? I don't know.
Fox sci-fi show. I need to. This needs to.
This is a hunt now. This is
Fringe. There it is. Fringe. That was the show I was thinking of. It was going to drive me absolutely bonkers if I didn't think of it. And Fringe was the show with Anna Torv, Joshua Jackson. That's who I was thinking of. And
if you would have just said Mighty Ducks, I would have pulled that for you. So.
Oh yeah, he was in that, right?
Yeah, he's Charlie.
I completely forgot about that. And then I was looking on the cast here. I don't even see who his stupid name is. But it was like Lewis Riddick. I'm looking for him. Oh, Lance Riddick. That's it. Lance Riddick. Nobody cared about anything that I just did.
John
and I halted
Hancock
us for a minute. Lance Riddick.
Herbie Hancock.
All right. Well, I can't even think of who Lewis Riddick is. Booger McFarlane means so much more to me, but it's on a negative connotation, of course.
Yeah, I mean, I hope that they mix in enough guys. Like, I haven't watched, I've listened to McShay and Kiper. They have a podcast that they do, like, you know, maybe 10 episodes a year about the draft, kind of leading into the draft when people start paying attention, like February, you know, they'll have like an episode every other week or, you know, leading up to it, they'll have more and stuff. So I'll listen to them on that. But I haven't watched the ESPN draft broadcast in forever. I stick with NFL Network, and it was mainly because of Mayock. You know, Mayock left last season. But I like Daniel Jeremiah, too. I listen to him and Bucky Brooks on Moving the Sticks all the time. So I do enjoy listening to those guys, too. I specifically love Bucky's takes because they're different than a lot of the industry, and people just get outraged. They're like, how do you think this guy is good, Bucky? Come on. Your takes are terrible. Why would anybody do that in the draft? You know, like people get outraged. And it's like, dude, just let him have his opinion. It's fine. It's not that big a deal.
Do you look forward at all to like, I don't know if they'll actually do this, but would you like to see like Daniel Jeremiah and then like Todd McShay kind of go up against each other type of thing?
I would love that. Yeah, it'd be like a WCW WWE crossover event. So, but I think that they'll keep that stuff professional. Now, McShay and Kiper love to like bicker at each other like an old married couple. So they do that a ton. So I could see them doing that. I think they'll probably try to keep this more professional. But the best thing would be is if they're fighting and then there's like a delay, right? There's a delay between them. So it's like an awkward fight, too. Not only is it a fight between two guys on two different networks, but now it's weird because there's like 16 seconds of silence while one is waiting for the other to talk. And then they both start talking at the same time. Like that is the stuff I'm here for. I'm here for the awkwardness of this draft. Most of the time, awkward stuff. And you and I have talked about this, the cringiness of TV. Sometimes it's hard for me to watch.
Sure.
Like I got to turn it off. Like, I'm like, okay, I can't do this right now. It's too cringy. Nope, can't do it.
I think some of the most interesting stuff, though, it's really it's an eclectic group. By the way, I didn't even mention because ABC is going to be doing, you know, some of their own coverage. They are going to, it's going to be hosted by Reese Davis, Jesse Palmer, and Maria Taylor. They're going to do prime coverage on 23rd and 24th. They're also going to have on analyst Todd McShay. He'll be on.
That might be the one to watch.
College football analyst Kirk Herbstreit, Desmond Howard, David Pollack, defensive end from Georgia. And they'll have correspondent, feature reporter Tom Rinaldi. And ABC is going to focus on the storytelling and the journey of the draft prospects and their families have taken to get to the NFL. And they will all be in studio in Bristol as well. So that's going to be really weird. McShay is going to join Wingo. Yeah, it talks about the other crew over.
I mean, I'm not going to watch that if they're just going to talk about the players and their family and stuff like the whole time. But I will record it to watch later. Like, you know, I want the breakdown of how the guy fits with the team and the surprise of the pick and all that stuff. We're going to get 2 hours worth of Joe Burrow and his, you know, roller coaster college career and then him going number one to the Bengals. And that's going to have the one with the most production because that's like, you know, him and Chase Young, we know where they're going.
Well, so, you know, what's interesting about this, I don't know if I didn't catch it when I was talking to you, but McShay is not going to be on the coverage Thursday and Friday at all for ESPN and NFL Network's broadcast. He's only going to be on ABC, but then on Saturday he will, he'll come over there. So ESPN/NFL Network's dual broadcast will only have Mel Kiper, but then they'll have Daniel Jeremiah, where ABC is going to have Todd McShay. So Todd, they're going to follow the stories, but McShay's info is going to be dropped on the ABC coverage. Really weird play that they're going to have. Like it's odd. All of that is odd of the inner sharing. They're all going to be in the same studios doing multiple broadcasts. Very, very weird group. I'm interested to see what ABC does, though, in the storytelling. Can they intertwine storytelling with enough info? Because I agree with you. If it's too much, like every moment is one of those cutback, big drawn, you know, 3-minute videos. Like I want them to talk about the picks and I want to talk about the upcoming potential rumors and stuff. I don't want just stories.
Right, right. Yeah. And I think they'll probably have it. But I would assume that if they're doing stories on ABC and that's mainly what they're doing, it'll probably be like, okay, Joe Burrow was announced and here's our, you know, 15-minute package of him. And then Chase Young gets picked. Here's our 15-minute package of him. And then, you know, by the time we get to pick three, they probably have to lower those to like 10 minutes or whatever. But then there's going to be someone that drops off into day two that we didn't see dropping off. that has like a 10-minute video, and then their 7-minute picks or whatever they are on day two. And, you know, it's going to overlap. So instead of seeing the pick live, you're going to see, you know, the Lions pick, blah, 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 while the video of whoever is rolling.
Yeah.
And day two picks are still kind of a big deal. So, you know, I think that's going to be weird. But the, you know, the last day of the draft is kind of a mess anyway. So I am definitely excited to see what kind of weird, strange mess it's, you know, first of all the days are going to be. With this going on and people being at home for it. And then really that last day is going to get really weird.
Just weird separating those guys, McShay and Kiper, because, you know, there's one thing I'm really looking forward to in the first round. It's how all of these analysts are going to be working through dealing with the wide receivers. You know, I love offensive positions. As, you know, from a fantasy perspective, we love offensive positions. But if you want to talk about noise that's going on right now, as far as, you know, any chatter a week leading up, it seems to be so much about wide receivers. How, I mean, I even go on Roto World and I see, you know, the big push up of Denzel Mims, where you've got a scout that's saying Denzel Mims is better than CeeDee Lamb and Judy. You've got a scout saying that Judy is the most superstar potential, and you got scouts comparing CeeDee Lamb to Ocho Cinco and Anquan Boldin. I mean, you've got LaVisca being the most likely bust going on. I mean, this is all the stuff. It's all about wide receivers right now that are going out. And the buzz on the wide receivers is really fascinating to me, because I don't think there's anything close to a consensus, especially if there is, you know, the scout who told The Athletic's Bob McGinn that if Denzel Mims is believed to be better than CeeDee Lamb and Jerry Jeudy, we've got the potential for the first round wide receiver situation to not just be like five or six guys, but it could blow up all over the board. Like, we could see Mims go before these guys. This could get crazy.
Yeah, I mean, it definitely can get crazy. And there's a lot of risers. And ironically enough, today is when my wide receiver episode over at In This League drops for the NFL draft coverage. So if you want a little more in depth about some of these wideouts, you can check that out as well. But, you know, putting this class together, the Welsh, is so unbelievably difficult. I mean, I can find and nitpick the little things for some of these guys, but, you know, usually around 30 guys go in the draft as far as wide receivers are concerned. So about one a team usually. I could see like 50 going here, and it's not going to happen. And there's still going to be like maybe 40 go in this draft. I think 35 over like the last 5 years is the most that have gone, somewhere in that neighborhood. So I could see 40 going in this draft, but this is going to be a year where priority free agents at wide receiver are going to be gigantic, because a lot of these guys are going to make huge impacts. But we're also going to have, not just in the wide receiver position, but overall, we're going to have guys with little injuries or any type of an injury history just get dropped like a bad habit. Like, I am concerned about LaVisca to see how far he's going to fall, because it's going to be a bit. My boy Colin Johnson from Texas has a tough injury history. He's going to fall. Brandon Ayuk just had core surgery, but he's a little a weird anomaly, because he still ran a 4.5 and jumped a 40-inch vertical while needing core surgery. So it may not drop him off as far as we expect. Guys that didn't perform well in the combine, like Quintez Cephas, ran, I think it was a 4.73. It was not great. But there were Jeff Okuda, when they asked him, he's a corner coming out of Ohio State, who was the hardest player for you to cover? He said Quintez Cephas. And watching his tape, he's really, really good, with some rough quarterback play at Wisconsin too. So this class is deep. There's going to be a ton going in round one. There's going to be even more going in round two and three. And these guys are going to make immediate impacts. And there's just so many of them. But the Welsh, I think that Henry Ruggs might be the first wide receiver off the board.
Yeah, you've been saying that a lot. You know, let me before, I mean, I don't even know how much time we're going to have here. I only have a couple more minutes, because I just wanted to ask you this, to your point real quick. With Ruggs, you know, you say Ruggs might be the, you know, near the top, or maybe the first guy picked. I know you like Judy. Mims is out there. CeeDee Lamb is out there. We've seen such an uptick in veteran wide receivers being moved that I think you could on one side be like, you know, man, if the class is so deep, it's really weird to see so many teams targeting these veteran wide receivers. But it also could be teams knowing if they can go get, you know, if they can go acquire assets for these wide receivers, they're going to be able to replenish because it's so damn deep. That I wanted to really quickly ask you, you know, there's this rumor about Odell Beckham to Minnesota. I know a lot, most people don't believe anything of it. It's just interesting. I saw just a couple hours ago, there are a couple people reporting it. The Viking Age, which is one of the bigger Minnesota Viking blogs. They picked this up and ran that the Vikings are reportedly in talks to acquire Odell Beckham for multiple draft picks. And there's been a couple other people, some CBS national writers have been picking this up as well. You know, do you think it's a possibility? And do you think we're going to see any more of these types? Do you think we're going to see like an uptick in trades, maybe specifically more wide receivers being traded around the draft because it's so deep at that position?
This draft is going to have more trades than any draft we've ever seen, 100%. And it's really because we're not getting full medicals and having teams, trainers look at these players and their medical reports and stuff. So I think that the teams that are kind of out of it this year are going to be they're going to be trading away their picks to, you know, teams with a smaller window and trading four picks in next year's draft because we assume next year's draft is going to be a normal process of, you know, pro days and medical checks and all that stuff by the team. So we're going to have more trades, I think, in this draft than we've ever seen in any draft before ever. So I think that's a great point that you brought up. And the OBJ stuff, I mean, I don't, we've heard this rumor kind of shot down already, but
yeah, Schefter kind of killed it a little bit, right. But people are still running with it that it, you know, that it's going out.
But why was it believable? It was believable because they traded away Diggs and OBJ doesn't fit anywhere and he's been kicked around. So I think the rumor was even if it was completely made up out of thin air, it was a smart one because the Vikings need a wideout. And OBJ may be rubbing the new coaching staff the wrong way. Who knows?
Yeah.
So he has a weird past. So I definitely think that he could get traded during the draft. And we're going to see tons and tons of trades in this draft. It's going to be super interesting.
It'll be fascinating to watch. Make sure you tune in. We'll have a live stream. Bogman's on it over on our Patreon or over on our YouTube channel. But that is it for us now, friendos. Got another episode coming up. So make sure you listen right here to In This League on the Daily. That's Bogman. I'm Welsh. You guys have a fantastic one. We're out of here.
Peace.
For you.
DailyRoto.com. Learn from the game's best DFS players. We don't just give you premier advice. We play every day. All major sports, all year round, we never stop. Industry-leading DFS tools and custom projections. And now, the DailyRoto.com Optimizer. In minutes, build an optimized lineup for cash games and tourneys. Learn from the game's best DFS players. Join DailyRoto.com.
Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I, we get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. Hey, it's going to be your church and your turn up. So listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
At Ability Chiropractic, we do things differently. We believe lasting health starts with understanding how your body truly works, not masking pain with quick fixes. Our doctors take the time to educate and empower you to take control of your wellness journey. Through gentle, customized adjustments, we help restore proper function and unlock your body's natural healing power. That's why Columbus families have trusted Ability Chiropractic since 2012. See the difference for yourself. Book an appointment today at abilitychiro.com.
It's almost Election Day, Central Ohio, and your voice matters. On Tuesday, November 4th, COTA is making it easier to get to the polls with free rides all day long on all services. No fare, no hassle. Just hop on board on Tuesday, November 4th for an easy way to cast your vote. Whether you're taking the bus, COTA Mainstream, or COTA Plus, your ride is on us. Let's roll to the polls together. Plan your trip on the transit app or at COTA.com.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit RightRug.com. RiteRug.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring. Right.